Now, if you will take God's Word in your hands and begin following along with me in our reading, Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. We have three readings this morning that we will refer to. And as you have that open, I'm going to ask the children first if they could tell me I wonder if you have watched the movie called Wizard of Oz, or if you know about it. It's about a story of a girl called Dorothy, and she finds herself taken away in a tornado from her home, and she wants to go back home, and she finds out later in her journey that all she had to do was click her shoes three times and say, what did she say? There's no place like home. There's no place like home. Three times. There's no place like home. That's all she had to do. Why is that? It's because she was homesick. She felt away from home, and home is that place where we find security and comfort. And we often say when we're camping and we're away in someone else's home in another bed, and we get homesick and we just say, I want to go home, right? Children, you just want to go home. Well, today is going to be about what home is. What home is for those who live by faith. And I'm going to mention the word home many times. And I've got Mr. Vandermeer who's going to number all of those times I say the word home. And if you want to follow along and write it down somewhere, or keep it in a log in your mind, how many times am I going to say the word home? Okay? Not including when it's mentioned here in the reading. So let's hear, this is God's Word, beginning at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and in him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. And Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And if you can now turn to Acts chapter 7. That's found on page 1086. Acts chapter 7 on page 1086 in your pew Bibles. Acts chapter 7. Beginning at verse 1. This is Stephen now giving his preaching. He's going to give a whole narration of the history of Israel. And the high priest said, are these things so? And Stephen said, brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and said to him, go out from your land and from your kindred, and go into the land that I will show you. Then he went out from the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran. And after his father died, God removed him from there into this land in which you are now living. And finally, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. That's found on page 1195. Hebrews chapter 11. And I will begin the reading at verse 8 to 16. There's a portion there about referring to Sarah that I will not be mentioning here in the message, but reading the whole context. Beginning at verse 8, Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and in him, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Pray with me here. Father in heaven, this word that we have just heard is this word of truth that is without error, entirely trustworthy. And so we thank you that we can come under this word, and we ask that you would bless it to our minds, our hearts, in Christ Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, you keep your finger there, as you may know it very well, is the chapter on the hall of faith, those who live by faith. And Abraham is the one who's most prominently featured in this chapter, Abraham, the man of faith, an outstanding faith. The one that we look to as the one, as an example to us to emulate. Abraham, the man of faith, who heard a command from God and he obeyed. Abraham demonstrated his faith by obeying. Abraham, the man of faith. Abraham obeyed this voice of God to leave his home. Home, children, boys and girls, I said it. Leave his home in a place called Ur of Chaldees. That's in Mesopotamia. And he was to go to the land that God would show him. He didn't know where he was going, but he was to go. And he left his family, his extended family, and he went with his nuclear family to that place. Now, we don't hear the voice of God like Abraham did. We don't have any audible voice that we hear saying, go, and then I'll direct the way. I'm going to show you the place where you are to go. But sometimes in God's providence, we are having to go. We move. We're going somewhere. And it's not just sometimes. Some people have moved a lot in their lifetime. They've had to go from their home, from their place, and they've had to go somewhere else. That's what we experience in our lives. And that can be destabilizing. That can be disconcerting, unsettling for us. And it's sad when we say goodbye to people because we're going to miss them. They're going to miss us. And we're going to experience some of that emotion next Lord's Day, as we send out about 10 families or so. They will leave this congregation and they will begin a new one. And that can be engendering some emotions of fear, of some anxiety. I don't know how you'll experience it, but all of us will experience some kind of response to what is going to happen next Lord's Day in the coming weeks. Today, I want us to gain a biblical perspective on this kind of moving and going. A biblical perspective that we are on a journey by faith. But the perspective is that we're all going to the same place. The same destination. This is where we are going. And it's home. Whether you're called to be going to the new church, Beckwith, or you are staying here in Ottawa, and in any time of your life, in your personal journey of life, we want this biblical perspective. And there are three calls in our lives to live by faith. Three calls in our lives to live by faith. The first is the call. The first call is by faith, go where God will show you. The first call is by faith, go where God will show you. Abraham proved his faith in his response to that call on his life to go. Remember, Abraham is our example. Genesis chapter 12. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, from your kindred, from your father's house to the land I will show you. He didn't know where he was going, but God was going to show him where he was to go. Abraham heard that command, that call, and he went. Verse 4, so Abraham went as the Lord had told him. He went in obedience. By faith, he went. Did you notice that in Acts chapter 7, you may turn there if you wish, Acts chapter 7, as Stephen, inspired by the Holy Spirit, recounts this history, almost verbatim, he said, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. So Mesopotamia was Abraham's original home. And then he went and journeyed up and settled in Haran. And that's where it's maybe a little bit confusing in Genesis 12. It seems as though he received the call in Haran, but he actually received it in his home while he was still in Ur of Chaldees, in that city of Ur. And that's where the Lord said to him, go out from your land, from your kindred, and go to the land that I will show you. Then he went out from the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran with his father Terah. And after his father Terah died, God, now here's the word, removed him from there into this land in which you are now living. He's speaking to the people, the Jewish people. And he's saying, God removed him. God made it happen. God brought him from his home. And though he stayed in Haran for a time, he removed him from there and brought him into that land of promise. Yet Abraham is called a man of faith. He did leave. And he had no idea where he was going, but this demonstrates his implicit faith. He believed God, that God would show him where to go. It's not a blind faith. He believed in a God who's faithful to show him, a God who would fulfill his promises. So we see in Abraham this faith that leads to obedience to God's call, finally receiving the inheritance as a reward for that faith. For Abraham, that was the land of promise. That was the inheritance. And people today, they think of certain countries or regions as the land of promise. People in North Africa or all over Africa, they will come to North Africa and they will get on these boats. Some of them are not safe at all. And they will make that perilous journey across the Mediterranean to try to reach the shores of Europe, thinking that that is the promised land. And they don't know where they're going, but they just think, I need to get to this place. And some of them die on the way. There are people that are trying to make themselves get through this perilous place called the Darien Gap, where they go, land into Colombia, and then there's this jungle bordering Colombia and Panama, and they're crossing through this jungle to finally get into North America. And then all these countries they have to cross to get into the U.S. because they think America is the promised land. And people who make those journeys, even immigrants who come as students, and they think this is the promised land, they're sorely disappointed. There are many disappointments when they arrive here. My friend from Iran, he tells his friends in Iran, if you come to Canada, you think it's a 5-star hotel, but it's actually more like a 3-star. There are disappointments. This is not the land of promise. It's not. There's no land of promise in this world. Abraham looked beyond the land that he had arrived in because God was going to show him the real land of promise. When God says to any of us, go into the future, the unknown, uncharted territory. You don't know where you're going, but he's just saying, go. I'm moving you in providence. I'm moving you. Don't think that where you are going in this world, in this life, is actually the final destination. He has something prepared for you beyond that. That's what we're looking at today, because that is what Abraham was looking at, even when he arrived in this land that was promised to him. There is an inheritance that is reserved, that is kept, that is guaranteed to you for living a life of faith. And that is your reward. It's a life of faith. A life of faith. Of going where God will take you. And God is going to take us as a church. And He's going to take us to a place we don't know. None of us know the future of the Ottawa Church, of the Beckwith Church, or other churches that will come. We don't know, but God is saying go. And so we're going by faith. We're on the move. But we know that our final home, you call this your home church, you might call Beckwith your home church, the final home is not here. It's there. It's in heaven. That's the final destination. And we're going to see not just Abraham, but all of our forefathers, they understood this. They understood that they walked by faith, not looking at the land in which they were in as sojourners, as the permanent place for them, but they looked beyond that. And that's the second point, or the call to live by faith. And that is, by faith, acknowledge that you are a sojourner on earth. By faith, acknowledge that you are a sojourner on earth. Abraham understood this. Isaac and Jacob, they understood this, that they were strangers in this promised land. They were living as foreigners, even though this is the land that God had promised them. They were heirs of that promise. And so they lived in tents, recognizing and acknowledging that they were on the move, that they were exiles, that they were pilgrims. They were continually moving their tents. Look at verse 9 of Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go to Hebrews if you're still in Acts. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9 says, verse 8, review. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to a place where he'd receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. Verse 9. By faith, he went to live in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, these are forefathers, lived in tents, knowing that this land was their inheritance. And yet, we're going to see that they looked beyond that, didn't they? And they showed that faith by seeing themselves as sojourners. It's not just them, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but it's actually all the patriarchs, including we would call our forefather David. Well, Jacob, he said to Pharaoh, the days of my sojourning are 130 years. He says, my whole life was a sojourn. David identifies with these other forefathers. He says, we are sojourners as our fathers were. All of these great men of faith in the Old Testament, they saw themselves as sojourners. Does that theme continue in the New Testament? It sure does. Peter talks about this in his first letter. He opens the letter speaking of God's people who have been dispersed through persecution and dispersion. He calls them those who are in exile by the dispersion. They're in exile. Just as those who are brought to Babylon and they were in exile for a time. That continues. You are also in Christians in the New Testament in exile. He exhorts them in his letter to conduct themselves with fear through their time of exile. And he reminds them of their identity. And he urges them, as sojourners and exiles, abstain from the passions of the flesh that will make war against your soul. As sojourners, as exiles, we Christians are just as our forefathers were. Sojourners. Pilgrims. That's what we are. That's our identity. And until we reach our true home, we are in exile from home. Waiting in this land, for this land of our inheritance. We're waiting for it. We're moving on until we attain it. And that's a call in our lives by faith to live with patience, to live with endurance, because we need it, don't we? It is a long pilgrimage, it seems, at times. People who don't live like this, who don't live by faith, they look to this land, this world, all the possessions that they can claim, and they see this is it. This is all that there is. And they cling to it for comfort and security. Especially men will work hard for decades to secure a few more years. Just a few more years in retirement. Try to get their mortgage paid off, have their house, their cottage, extra money for their touring the world. That's what they live for. That's their great desire in life, is to relax in that security that they find in the possessions that they have in this world. Jesus says, life does not consist of one's own possessions. That's not what life is all about. Because if people think this is it, I've got my house, then in the end, they will lose it. Jesus says, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If anyone wishes to save his life, will lose it. If anyone who loses his life for my sake will gain it for everlasting life. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and then loses his soul? And what will he give for his soul, return of his soul? What are you living for? Is it for this or that? That inheritance. If you're a believer, the fact is that whatever you have as a house, it's not your home. It's not your final home. We're passing through as strangers. This is not it. It's still yet to come. There's a country. Abraham looked to a country. And he was just camping along the way in that land intense looking for the better country that God was preparing for him. There was something so much better yet to come. So be careful. As a believer, we can still make the comforts and the security of this life to be an idol. It's true. We can cling to those, even as believers. Find our security in that. Find our comfort in it. Be careful. Continue. As you know you are a pilgrim on this journey, home that is with Jesus. It's not here. That's the second call. Acknowledge that you're a sojourner on earth. And the third call is this. The final one is by faith, seek your homeland in heaven. The third call to live by faith is to seek your homeland in heaven. And boys and girls, if you're following along and you hear the word homeland, I'm counting that as the word home, okay? Be clear when I say that word. Patriarchs that we know from those who lived in these tents in the Old Testament, they talked about their sojourn to this homeland, a country. And Abraham, it says in verse 14, he calls it a better country. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. A better country. And here we have, if, in verse 15, it talks about how if they were actually homesick for Ur, going back to that home, they could have returned. Verse 15 says, if they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have opportunity to return. They could have returned any time. But they didn't, because they looked for that other homeland. Verse 16, but as it is, they desired a better country. That is, a heavenly one. That was their desire. A better country in heaven. Abraham looked beyond that land in which he was dwelling. He looked beyond it, that country, because there was a one beyond it that was lasting, eternal, and that was in heaven. His true inheritance. They were after a better country than that. And it says here very wonderfully in verse 16, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, because He is preparing a place for them, a city, which we're going to look at tonight, about that city. God is not ashamed. He unashamedly identifies with His people that He calls sojourners. He's the God of the sojourner. He identifies with them unashamedly. He walks with them in their pilgrimage. And so we have this real inheritance, a promised land that is in heaven, a homeland for God's people, those who live by faith. But it's sad when I see Christians who are looking to a land and a city in Israel, in Jerusalem, and they're joining with the Jews who long to repossess that land. They're at the walls, the western walls, and they're wailing, longing to see the temple rebuilt and the third temple being erected and restored, even the sacrifices. There are Christians who are wanting to see that. But Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they were looking beyond the land, beyond that city, to one that is to come. And it's the same for us. Just as they, Romans 4, verse 13, it says, the promise to Abraham and the offspring was that they would be heirs of the whole world, not a plot of land. They will be heirs of the whole world. And that is all who live by faith. all of us who are offspring of Abraham, we are those who look to the new heavens that will come down on the new earth. That is the world that we inherit. And that's what we're looking to, looking for. We're seeking. And I will appreciate, and I think we all should appreciate, the Jewish people desiring to have their own home. A place where they can live in peace and security and with citizenship. We as Canadians, we don't understand war. We've been living in peace for all of our lives in Canada here. We have a citizenship in a country with a passport that you can travel to 187 countries. We are so blessed living in Canada. And we don't understand that. And people who live in other countries where they can hardly travel. And some of them don't even have a citizenship. They're not even recognized by the international community. But we live in a land where you have millions of people who long to come here to Canada and call it their homeland and to gain citizenship. And citizenship is a wonderful thing. It gives us many rights and privileges, but you cannot compare it with the citizenship of heaven. There's no comparison. Paul says in Philippians, our citizenship is in heaven, because that's where our homeland is. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we see beyond where we live, our house, our country, and we look to something better, something that is in heaven. And that is for us. And some of you are going to be growing up in the church. We have a lot of children here. But some of you are grown up into your teenage years. And you are experiencing the blessing, the benefits of a kind of citizenship. You're in the covenant community and you're experiencing the benefits. What are you doing with those? Are you rejecting it? Or are you embracing it? Are you disparaging it? Or are you welcoming it? The things of the world are going to attract you to cling, to settle, to find your security in it. But there is a place that you cannot even imagine that is so much better than your imagination, and that is the place that God is preparing for those who believe. It's a home in heaven. And the only way that that home in heaven is made available to each and every one of you is because God, the Father, sent His Son. And on the cross, He took the curse so that you would have the blessing of heaven. That's what He did. And you can have that by faith. So seek Jesus while He may be found. And if you are living by faith, await Him, because He's going to bring you home. What is your home country? What is it? Heaven is your home country. If you live by faith, going where God will show you, acknowledging that you are a sojourner on the earth and seeking your homeland in heaven. Heaven is your home. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You that You did not leave us on earth to suffer the curse of sin, but You sent Your Son to be sin for us so that we might receive the blessing of this promise of an inheritance with You in heaven. And so we pray that You would enable us by faith to live this life as sojourners until we reach that place that You have made our home. And so we can pray this in Jesus' name with confidence, knowing that You will realize it. You will fulfill Your promise because You have said You will do it. Amen.